Welcome to the Shir in Maral Guryari Parshas Baloscha. I wanted to take a look today at a little bit of a longer Rashi, which basically quotes a minor Chazal, a statement from Chazal, is reacted upon by the Ramban, and then the Maral in turn reacts to both Rashi and the Ramban, and all of them, of course, try to deal with what seems to be a very disturbing incident related in the Pesukim. So in Perek Yud Aleph, the Jewish people have complained. They want food. You know, they're not happy with the man. They remember all of the good food that they had in Mitzrayim, at least in their understanding. So Rabban Shalom in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud Ches tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "You have an Tona. Tell the people, 'Is Kashu Lamachara Halchem Basar? Get ready for tomorrow. You'll eat meat.'" You cried in the eyes of Hashem, in the ears of Hashem, saying, "Who's going to feed us meat?" He told one of the Mitzrayim, "It was better for us in Egypt." So, in response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you meat. You'll eat, and not only are you going to eat meat, you'll eat for the pasuk chaf ad chodesh yamin. You'll have so much meat. You'll be eating for 30 days. Until the meat is literally coming out of your noses, and it's going to be something disgusting to you. Because you rejected Hashem, who's in your midst. And you cried in the before Hashem, saying, "Why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? You want meat? You're going to eat meat until you get sick." And then we know that's what happens. The Jewish people were given this gift of slav, of quail, but, you know, the consumption of the quail ultimately causes the Jews, many of the Jews, to become sick and to die. You know, so you want meat, says the Rebbe Shalom somewhat sarcastically, you'll get your meat and, you know, you'll get your just desserts together with the meat as well. Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction on the surface is puzzling, and maybe even disturbing. Yomer Moshe, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, says Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people numbers 600,000 people. Are you indeed saying that you can give them enough meat to provide all of these people for 30 days? They can eat meat for 30 days? Even if tons of sheep were to be slaughtered for them, would it be enough for them? He must call to get Lahem. If we were to gather in all of the fish of the sea and give it to them, would it be enough for them? The simple shot of what Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be asking the Ribbono Shel Olam is, Ribbono Shel Olam, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of meat. That doesn't sound like that's physically possible. Now, that may be true if you're talking to anyone other than the Ribbono Shel Olam, but God, one of the perks of being God is that you can make the impossible or the seemingly impossible possible. It's one of the good things about being omnipotent, that the Ribbono Shel Olam can make anything happen. And you would think that Moshe Rabbeinu, especially at this point in the Chumash, would certainly be aware of that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hayad Hashem tiksar. Hashem says to Moshe, will the hands of Hashem be too short to be able to provide? Again, simple shot seems to be, what, you think I can't do it? You think I'm incapable of carrying this out? You will now see whether my words will come to pass or not. Again, on the simplest of levels, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is doubting the Ribbono Shel Olam's ability to deliver. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, I can do it. And you'll see that I'm able to do it. And if that is indeed the way to read the Pesukim, that's profoundly disturbing in terms of what it reflects about Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi addresses this in a long Rashi. Rashi writes in Pasuk Chaf Beis, "The echad me'arba dvarim shahayu Rabbi Akiva darish ve'en Rabbi Shimon darish kemosa." This is one of four examples where Rabbi Akiva used to explain a pasuk in a certain way, and the Talmud of Shimon bar Yochai used to explain differently. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Sheish Ve'Ozel of Bradley, Ve'Ata Amarta, Basar Atem Rabbi Akhul Chodeshri O Yomim, Hasson Uvokar, Hakol Kimashmo, Mi Mastik Lohem. Right? He says, Rabbi Akiva, what you thought was the question of Moshe Rabbeinu is indeed the question of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Hashem, how will this be possible? This doesn't seem to be something which you can actually carry out. So then you'll ask me the question, says Rabbi Akiva, Be'ezo Kasha, Zo, O Shimon Ha'amorim, I don't understand. So later on in Parshas Chukas, when Moshe Rabbeinu does whatever he does with the rack and is punished with the words, Yan lo hemantem bi, you show the lack of faith in me. Alright, so we don't exactly understand what Moshe Rabbeinu's sin was over there, but clearly he was punished. Here, if we're reading the Sukkim correctly, Moshe Rabbeinu displays a profound lack of emunah in the Ribbono Shalom. Again, Rufum Riata on the surface reading of the Sukkim. And yet, he doesn't seem to be called to task for this in any way. Why is he punished for the main Ariva, for what happens with the rock? Whereas this seeming display of a lack of emunah is not punished in any way? Answers Rabbi Akiva. The case of main Ariva took place in public. Here, this was a private conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, lo nifra mimenu. So therefore, God didn't punish Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he spoke very much out of line. However, what happened in Mei Meriva took place in public, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was punished in such a terrible fashion. That's Rabbi Akiva. We'll see, of course, that the Maral is going to raise numerous kashas with Rabbi Akiva's literalist understanding of the Pesukim. Rav Shimon Omer Chas V'Shalom. The Shimon bar Yochai, the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, says God forbid to interpret the back and forth between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu in such a fashion. Well, also, Daito Shalosu Tzadikach, impossible that the Tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu would have even had a thought or even a fleeting idea that the Ribbono Shalom would be incapable of providing for the entire Jewish people. Misha Kostov of Chobes Dinemonu, Yomar, Ein Hamako Mastik Lonu. Moshe Rabbeinu, in this very parasha, is described as Chobes Dinemonu. There's no one more faithful as a servant than Moshe Rabbeinu. So such a person is going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't deliver, can't provide? And Lekach Omar, this is what the exchange is all about. Sheish Mil Zelot Rag with the Gomer. So you, Ribbono Shalom, are saying that you're going to provide meat for 30 days. That's great. But I understand what you're saying, Ribbono Shalom. You're saying that you're going to provide the meat, and then you're going to kill off a good portion of the Jewish people, which of course is indeed what happens. You know, numerous Jews die. Are you going to slaughter all of these animals for the Jewish people just so they should die? And that's going to be their last supper, so to speak? Is that the right way to act? Moshe Rabbeinu answered, "Go shalom." Homrim lo lechamor tol karos saorim v'nachtoch roshcha. If we say to a donkey, here's some barley for you to eat, and as soon as you finish eating the barley, we'll decapitate you. So are we doing the chamor? Are we doing the donkey a favor? Right? What kind of favor are you doing the Jewish people? You've got to give them all this meat, and then they're going to die. So in other words, according to Rishu Bar Yochai, the complaint of the response of Moshe Rabbeinu was not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't believe that you're capable of providing all of the meat that you plan to provide. That's not the complaint. But the complaint is, it doesn't seem appropriate. What you're planning on doing doesn't seem appropriate. I know that you can give them all of this food, but you're going to give them all this food and then kill them off? So what's going on with that? What kind of response is that? I don't want that to be the response of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Heshiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Lo Eten Yom L'Shekatzra Yavdi, if I don't provide this food, so then they will say that I indeed am incapable. Hatov Ve'einecha Shiyad Hashem Tikstar Ve'einayim, is that what you want? Do you want people to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't provide? Yov Zuhem Umeach HaYov Sebohem, Ve'altihi Yavdi Katzra L'fanai Afil Shar Achas. Better that 100 times the Jewish people would die and let no one say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incapable of providing. So in other words, the back and forth between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbeinu Shalom Kohen and Hashem Bar Yochai is not about the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide. It's about the justice, if you will, in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans on doing. And when Hashem says to Moshe, Hayad Hashem Tikzar, will God's hand be deemed to be too short? He's not responding to what Moshe Rabbeinu is thinking. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly would never think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incapable of doing something. But despite the fact that on a certain level maybe it's not nice to provide for the Jewish people and then kill many of them off, that's better than letting people say, Hayad Hashem Tiksa. So the hand of Hashem be considered to be too short and incapable of being able to provide for the Jewish people. That, according to Rosh Hashanah Yochai, is the back and forth over here. And Chas V'Shalom to say that Moshe Rabbeinu ever lacked an emunah. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu argues with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tries to convince him not to go ahead with his plan, that's not objectionable at all. I mean, throughout Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu objects when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to punish the Jewish people in some way. Moshe Rabbeinu is the great defender of the Jewish people. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's portrayal of Moshe Rabbeinu over here is not objectionable in the slightest. Moshe Rabbeinu is sticking up for Klal Yisrael. Right? What Rav Shimon Bar Yochai has a problem with is the statement of Rabbi Akiva that on the surface seems to say that Moshe Rabbeinu lacked emunah and didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was capable of carrying out this plan. Adkan, that's Rashi's quotation from Chazal as to the Machlokas of Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva, how to read the Pesukim. Comes the Maral and he raises the following. Hiksha HaRamban Shedivrei Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Heim Rechokim Mipshuto Shel Nikra. So the Ramban comments on this Rashi and he says, I have a real problem understanding Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's interpretation over here, because it doesn't seem to fit into the simple pshat in the Pesukim. What specifically doesn't fit into the simple pshat in the Pesukim? So the Ramban calls our attention to the end of Pasuk Chav Gimel. Hatzav Shira Hayikru Chav Devari Imlo. The Ramban says to Moshe Rabbeinu, now you will see whether what I said is going to come true or not. So, says the Ramban, that sounds a lot like the way Rabbi Akiva interprets the Pesukim. That Moshe Rabbeinu doubted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to be able to carry out his word. According to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that, you know, the discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam was not the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to carry out what he promised, but the fairness, the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu carrying out what he promised. What's added by the words, Hatoshira Hayikru Chodavari Imlo? Now you will see whether or not my words come to pass. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu never thought that it couldn't come to pass. Right? He was just questioning whether it was the right thing to do from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective. What does that phrase mean, according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? It doesn't really seem to fit the pshat. V'od kasha, says the Maral, I also have another kasha of my own on the words of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Shalom hakosuv chosach al hatzadik, shalkosuv chet shalom. In general, the Torah likes to cover over the failings of tzaddikim. Now, you could ask questions on this question of the Maral, but the Maral himself has this idea, again based on the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kufchav Gimel, so Rabbi Hartman points out in his notes. Esh, when the Gemara there says, Esher b'gnus seim o tzneya lo diber akosuv, b'gnus tzadikim diber akosuv. The Torah doesn't even speak about something degrading about the non-kosher animals. The Torah doesn't speak in a way which is degrading about a tzadik, right? So again, obviously there are examples where the sins of tzadikim are spelled out in the Torah, But let's just keep reading the Maral for a moment, and I think we'll appreciate where his passage is coming from. Kan kosu fatara dava shenira shechasa, ulfi haemes eino chet, uvederech rachok yuvan sheino chet, vizel hetet hasfara. Says the Maral as follows. According to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sin over here. Okay? And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, Chas v'shalom, to say that Moshe Rabbeinu would have sinned with the lack of emunah. But then, says the Maral, as the following pastor, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, so if you really didn't sin, why on earth would the Torah write the conversation in such a way that could lead you to the erroneous understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu displayed a lack of emunah? In a certain sense, that's even worse. You know, if Moshe Rabbeinu, like Rabbi Akiva, actually did display a lack of emunah, okay, so the Torah tells us, the Torah doesn't whitewash the truth, okay, the Torah tells us the way it is. But why would the Torah misportray what Moshe Rabbeinu said in a way that makes it sound like he's lacking emunah, but in point of fact he did not? That doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. You know, it's harder to understand Rishon Bar Yochai than it is Rabbi Akiva on that score, says the Maral. So the Eivor Eli, Shedvarov Krovin, the Nira Shekach Pshuto Shom Nikra, the Kach Das Rishon Bar Yochai. So says with the Maral, to try to answer both the Ramban's Kasha, that the interpretation of Rishon Bar Yochai doesn't seem to fit the Pshat, as well as my own Kasha, that why would the Torah, you know, describe Moshe Rabbeinu in a way that makes us think that he has a lack of emunah. Let me try to explain how Rav Shimon bar Yochai's interpretation really works in the pshat of the psukim, and then we'll understand how all of this fits together. Mashta ona sheshmios eles v'gomer kach yishloma v'vadai mashat haros eliteng la'om hazeh v'derech hateva v'han hogas sa'olom. Says the Maral, Moshe Rabbeinu understood from the get-go that when the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to provide for the Jewish people, he did not want to invoke Nissan. He did not want to invoke a miracle. Again, clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu can invoke whatever miracles he wants to invoke. I mean, again, that's one of the perks of being the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's all-powerful. Right? If he wants to make any kind of miracle, he can absolutely make that miracle. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood that in this particular case, the Ribbono Shel Olam was not going to perform a miracle. He was going to provide for the Jewish people using the usual channels, the usual avenues of teva, of the regular natural order. Why did he understand that? She'im atam no sen shalokim in hago shel olam oz hasakoyit aleim. Because says Moshe Rabbeinu, because if you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, were to provide for the Jewish people in a nace-like fashion, in a miraculous fashion, by definition that would mean also that you're going to pour out your wrath upon the Jewish people. Why so? So here comes a very fascinating idea from the Maral. Shemishim echadshim lo nisim b'shinoi minhago shel olam u'maslichim barom ha'fogash ein tircho lefano v'raka mal horishoim hu lo l'torach miyad ha'kodesh baruch hu koes aleyem. Says the Maharal, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs a miracle for someone, either a person or a group of people, who are really not deserving of the miracle, but for whatever reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that it's important to change the Hanhagat HaTeva, to change the way nature operates, so he performs a miracle, but the people aren't really deserving of that miracle, so that creates a certain kind of divine anger. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam, as a rule, doesn't want to mess with the natural order. It's something Kavayachol compels HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the natural order. And someone who's not deserving is the catalyst for that change. That creates divine anger against that person. Right? So, for example, you know, Rabbi Hartman in his notes quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Daphnon Gimel on the Beis, where it describes an individual whose wife passed away and left him with a child who was still nursing. And of course, that was extremely difficult
you know, for the man. How is he going to nurse the child? Says the Gemara in Shabbos, the Ribbono Shel Olam made a miracle. His breasts all of a sudden became like a woman's breasts, and he was able to nurse the child himself. You say, wow, that's incredible. Says the Gemara over there, no. Kamo Garua Adam Zesh Mishtanolo Sidve Gracious. How terrible this person must be that he was a catalyst for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the way that nature itself operated. Right? So on the surface, your inclination would be to say, wow, this person must be a great tzaddik. But in point of fact, apparently he wasn't. He was a regular guy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, for whatever reason, changed the Sidrei HaTeva, the normal functioning of nature, on his behalf. So that comes with a price. If nature is changed for someone who's not really deserving, that means there's a certain divine anger that's brought into the world, and Rachmana Litzlan, the recipient of the nace, can also be the recipient of the anger. Maybe the person's deserving of the nace, right? In other words, the Maharal's not saying that every time a nace happens, the person who's the recipient is also the recipient of divine anger. It's only if the person wasn't really deserving of the nace. So, again, we don't know. And maybe, you know, maybe we are deserving of the nace, right? In other words, you know, maybe there isn't a divine anger that's associated with it in our particular case, you know, when we come back to that place. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. But Omar, Hatsonu Baka Yishachit Lahem, the Derech Teva Min Hagol Shel Olam. So Moshe Rabbeinu basically says the following to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know that you're not going to make a nace, because making a nace would actually be to the detriment of the Jewish people in this case. But I know that you're operating the Derech Teva in a natural kind of fashion. So now that we know that you're operating the Derech HaTeva, so now that's with Moshe Rabbeinu, I can ask the question. From a Derech HaTeva perspective, this doesn't look like it's going to work. Now that's not a chesaron in emunah. That's not a lack of belief. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly believes that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make a nace, he could make a nace. He's just under the impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to make a nace, because that would ultimately hurt the Jewish people. So that really is the pshat. In other words, that's not such a deviation from the pshat. If you shechted all of the sheep, you know, that are out there, would they be able to eat from that? The answer is no. The only thing you have to add to Rav Shimon bar Yochai in order to understand him fully is that Rav Shimon bar Yochai is saying, you know, I've already excluded the possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a nace over here, for the reasons we said. So it's going to have to be the Derech HaTeva. The Derech HaTeva, this doesn't seem like it's going to work. So, V'lo kiver Rishim Ha'yokhoi Kla Lomar Kipir Shatzor Vaki Shofi Lohem Kidei Shearegu Rashi Nishma Mikot Diyar Kar Kostu Hatzor Vaki Shofi Lohem Kidei Shimot Lohem Derech HaTeva Eno Matzik Lohem Zeh El in Asa Om in Asa Kach Rotsa Lasos Shasta Rotsa Laharoko Savai Desh Tito in Bakas Lova Minas Rotsam Zevo Yitachin Ki Eich Yimotze Yorahem Bosa Bin Yazek Moshe Pirish In Omru Chamor Harelu Chakor Sorim Benachtok Roshka. So now on the basis of that, the Maharal goes back and he reinterprets Rashi, because the truth is, it doesn't sound, on the surface, it doesn't sound like Rashi is explaining, you know, the psukim in this way, right? Rashi had quoted from the Rishon bar Yochai that Moshe Rabbeinu's question was, are you going to slaughter all the sheep for them just so that they should die, you know, a month later after eating the meat, right? It sounds like you're adding in the words Kadeshi Yaregu into the question of Moshe Rabbeinu, and on that the Ramban asks, you know, you're sticking something into the psukim which isn't there. So that the Maharal answers what Rashi is saying over here, Kadeshi Yeharegu, is not explaining the actual words of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's rather explaining the thought process that preceded the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. It can't be that you would give them all of this meat, the Derech Neis, because then they would die because of the divine anger.
So it must be that you're giving them the meat, the derech hateva, in a normal kind of fashion. And if you're giving it to them in a normal fashion, so now we come to the pasuk, how is this going to work from a derech hateva perspective? You know, it doesn't seem like, you know, there's going to be able to be enough meat which is produced in order to be able to feed the entire people. That, says the Maral, is what's going on over here. Okay, so that's Moshe Rabbeinu's kasha. What's the Ribbono Shel Olam's answer? Ve'eishev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Ayad Hashem Tikva Pirush. Shemoshe Lohoye Rotsa Rashi Yitin HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Ponim Me'irim. Lo V'Ponim She'enom Me'irim. K'moshe Amarnu. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not make a nace for the Jewish people because it would ultimately hurt them. Ve'eishev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ayad Hashem Tikva. What's the Ribbono Shel Olam's answer? Nothing is beyond me. Why? Not because you thought that something is beyond me. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. But says the Ribbono Shel Olam back to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, I'm not going to use the avenue of Teva to make this happen. You're right, from the perspective of the avenue of Teva, this is impossible. I'm going to use the avenue of Nisim, of miracles, to make this happen. That's then going to cause a kitzruk. It's going to cause anger to descend upon the Jewish people. In the words that Rashi uses, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, it's worth it for the Jewish people to be impacted upon by this terrible cast, this terrible anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than have people say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incapable of providing. So in other words, Hayad Hashem Tikzar, right, is saying, I'm going to be able to do it because I'm going to use the Hanhaga Nisus. I'm going to use this miraculous way of dealing with the Jewish people, even though it's going to have these terrible consequences. And then the ending phrase that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ata Fira Hayikruch Al Divari in Law, now you'll see whether what I said will come true or not. You thought that it couldn't come true because I'm using the Derech HaTeva. I'm telling you it's going to come true because I'm going to use the Derech Neis, even though it's going to hurt the Jewish people. Now, you'll say, is it worth it to hurt the Jewish people in order to cause a Neis? And basically, Rashi, as explained by the Maral, says, yeah, today she is kadesh shmo yisbarach the rabbin. People shouldn't say that God is incapable of providing, and that's important enough, even if it means that the Jewish people are going to be hurt in the process. What's that? I guess, I'm not sure why, but for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt, again, Kiviyocho, that no would be interpreted by people at large as he's incapable. That's why he's saying no. It's not just that he's exercising parental discretion. I'm not sure. Let me just make one point, and then we'll pick up after Meir Bezes Hashem. What emerges from Rashi, especially with the Maral's interpretation, is the following, again, fascinating idea. Nisim don't always help people. You say miracles. Okay, miracles are great, right? Everybody wants a miracle. Right? There's a song out there that they sing nowadays, send me my miracle. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to sing that song. Right? Miracles come with prices, oftentimes. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines that it's actually more important to have the miracle, even though the miracle may end up hurting, you know, the recipient of the miracle. In some way, the point of the miracle is to display the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not necessarily to always help out the recipients of the miracle. It's fascinating, a little bit scary idea, but it's certainly an idea which is here. But as I said after tonight, we'll pick up with the continuation of the Maral, where he talks about the Ramban's interpretation and works it back into the Pesukim as well, or the Hananya of the Nakasha. And welcome to the second half of the Shir Maral Guraya Tashas Baloska. We saw how the Maral reinterprets slightly Rashi's bringing of the Shita Roshim Bar Yochai. Roshim Bar Yochai says it's impossible that Moshe Rabbeinu could have displayed a lack of emunah on Kodesh Baruch Hu's ability
to do anything. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu had seen so many nisim. I mean, it seems inexplicable. So, rather, explains the Maharal in the understanding of Rav Shimon that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rav Shimon as follows: I know that you, Hashem, would not do a nace in this particular case because it would end up hurting the Jewish people. Because any time Hashem does a nace for someone who's not really deserving, they get hurt in the process. So I know that you must be operating in this case with Derech HaTeva from a natural perspective, a non-miraculous perspective. So asking from a non-miraculous perspective, I don't see how this is going to work. Answers HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, I am going to operate from a miraculous perspective, even though the Jewish people are going to get hurt in the process, and you'll see that that's indeed what's going to happen. That's the back and forth according to the Maharal. I think this makes more sense than the Ramban's interpretation over here, says the Maharal. So the Maharal now proceeds to share with us the Ramban's interpretation of this psukim, which the Ramban suggests as a third alternative to both Rabbi Akiva's perspective and Rabbi Shimon's perspective. Again, just to review, Rabbi Akiva understood the psukim on the pshat level, that Moshe Rabbeinu expresses surprise or wonderment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be able to actually feed so many people, and really it displays the lack of emunah, says Rabbi Akiva. And the only reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was not punished for that lack of emunah was because it was done in private. Had it been done in public, so Moshe Rabbeinu would have suffered terribly for expressing the lack of emunah in such a fashion. So, you know, the Ramban, we'll see, has a problem with that, but the Ramban equally has a problem with Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon's interpretation from the Ramban's perspective doesn't fit into the simple reading of the Pesukim at all. So the Ramban proposes a third interpretation, namely as follows. Shekostav, the Ramban writes, Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShom Choshav Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaseh Lohem Neis. Moshe Rabbeinu was confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to make a miracle in this case. Ki Achai Shekol HaNisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oso Lohem Hu L'Tov Lohem. As we'll see in just a moment, what the Ramban suggests is actually extremely similar to what the Maharal suggests, and we'll have to figure out what the subtle difference is between the two, because the Maharal says, I think my pshat is better than the Ramban's pshat. Okay, so obviously they have to be a little bit different from one another. The Ramban says like this, again, it's an incredible yisod in understanding nisim. By definition, says the Ramban, a nes can only be something beneficial. A nes can never have a detrimental effect. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to change, you know, the very workings of nature, he's not going to do so in order to hurt somebody. So therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that there's going to be so much meat, that the people are going to get sick of it, it's going to come out of their noses, and they're going to, Moshe Rabbeinu understands correctly that they're going to die as a result. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes through the following thought process. So obviously, if they're going to die as a result, it means it's not going to be a nes. It's going to be the Derech HaTeva. It's going to be a natural providing of meat which is going to take place. Oh, if it's going to be a natural providing of meat, so how is that going to work? Right? But here too, much like the Ramban, the Ramban understands that Moshe Rabbeinu's thought process was that it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, is incapable of making nisim. However, I understand that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates is he will only make a nes if it's entirely beneficial. If the nes in some way is going to be detrimental, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not do such a thing. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not do such a thing, obviously this whole discussion is taking place on the level of Teva, the way things are going to work from the natural order. The Shoal, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, Mayasa Lohem B'Derech Kol Haaretz. So what on earth can HaKadosh Baruch Hu do in a natural fashion in order to provide for such a great nation? So that's Ramban's interpretation. What's the difference between that and the Maharal's interpretation? So essentially it seems like it's a very subtle difference.
The Ramban says HaKadosh Baruch Hu never makes a nes unless it's going to be beneficial. There's no such thing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu making a nes which hurts people. The Maral understands that no, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu does make a nes in a way that hurts people, again as the Maral explained before. It's just that in this particular case, Moshe Rabbeinu found it hard to imagine that here HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make a nes and hurt the Jewish people in the process. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that we must be talking about providing the Derech Teva in the way of, in a regular natural fashion, as opposed to providing the Derech Nes. But the subtle difference between the Ramban and the Maharal is that the Ramban essentially says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never makes a miracle which hurts people. The Maharal was saying, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that in this case, the Ribbono Shel Olam would not be making a miracle in a way that would hurt the Jewish people. But it's not an overarching principle, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never do such a thing.
Why was he so assured that God would not make a miracle that would hurt people, even though God can do that? What made him so confident?
I guess, I don't know, what made Moshe Rabbeinu so confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't hurt the Jewish people in the process? Maybe according to the Maral, it was not so much confidence, but maybe, wishful thinking. As Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I can't imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you would do such a thing to hurt your beloved Jewish people, but Einochinami, again, we know that the answer according to the Maral, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu is, no, you are wrong. I will indeed make a nes, even though it has those detrimental consequences to the Jewish people.
The slog, didn't say that it's a nes there at Hamas, so to speak?
So,
yes, everything that's wrong is a nes. But it says, Ruach Nosh.
Oh, very, very good. So very good. So the Ramban himself makes that point. The Ramban himself, in understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, how can it be that you're going to bring down the slav in such great amounts? Of course, if it was a nes, certainly our HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do all kinds of nisim. I have no doubt that that's the case. However, nisim are only for the benefit of the Jewish people. This is, at least to some extent, to their detriment. So therefore, it must be the Derech HaTeva. It must be a natural thing. How is this going to work, the Derech HaTeva? So, according to the Ramban, he actually writes as follows. Hashem Hishivo, Hashem's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu was, Ki ein yad Hashem kasra l'seif lo'em she'lasam. God's hand is not too short to provide for the Jewish people that which they want. Gam b'derech ha'mikrim. Even in a b'derech ha'teva fashion. In other words, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't need a nes to pull this off. I can pull this off even from a derech teva perspective. And he says, That's the lesson of Ayad Hashem Tikzar, right? The lesson of, will God's hand be too short? And he does not use the language which the Pasuk uses in Yirmiyahu. Hamineni pole kol davar, is there anything which is past me? Because Yad Hashem Tikzar means, do you think I can't pull this off in a Derech HaTeva fashion? I'll show you I can even pull this off in a Derech HaTeva fashion. And indeed, goes on the Maral to say, the Ramban rather, to say, Ki lo yasas at the mofes. This was not achieved by a miracle. The chayn hayo, shenosra ruach me'eth Hashem k'min hago shel olam. The wind that brought the shlav was a regular, ordinary wind. Lo ruach yom chazok me'od, lo ruach kodim azok hasher yaskir b'moshen. There are other winds which are described, by Kriyas Yamsuf and by the Makos, which are unusual winds, to bring Arba, to bring a sea, to split a sea. This was just a regular, ordinary wind that brought the slough. Ruach Stam Kunuhukim. Loshinizu Atta Ba'aburam. And there was nothing special that was created. The Ein V'Dover Chidush Mitzivo Shel Olam. There was nothing supernatural at all. It's there, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, again, I think Rabbi Kaufman's phraseology is a good phraseology over here. The Ribbono Shel Olam made a Neis V'Derech Teva, right? In other words, he just lined up the ducks of nature, or the quail of nature, as the case may be. He lined up the ducks of nature in such a way so that everything just happened to work out well. It wasn't the nation, it was everything, the derech ha-teva, just that everything kind of fell together in an incredible way. And basically, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not just a great miracle worker, I'm a great strategist. Right? I can even move the chess pieces around the board of the world, you know, in a way which is very clever, without making, you know, extraordinary miracles. So don't put that one past me either, Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the way the Ramban understands the back and forth between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Moshe Rabbeinu. To that, the Maral says, Ein HaKeres Yad Hashem Titzah Nos L'Tshuva Zos. I don't like how the Ramban interprets God's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu. In the first most superior Ramban, if the answer to Moshe Rabbeinu was, I can do this in a natural fashion as well, I don't need to do this as a miracle, so says the Maral, so the Ramban hasn't really solved anything. The Ramban wants to know, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu could have a lack of faith in God? So, okay, the way the Ramban portrays Moshe Rabbeinu is, Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, I know you can do things in a miraculous fashion, but I'm skeptical whether you can, you know, pull things off in a natural fashion in a way which is extraordinary. Not supernatural, but extraordinary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, guess what? Right, like we said before, I'm not just a miracle worker, I'm a master strategist. So you say Moshe Rabbeinu doubted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a master strategist, that he could, you know, manipulate nature in such a way that everything would turn out. That's also problematic. So, you know, to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu, at this stage in the game, the whole basing him on who, you know, he's the closest human being, you know, who has enjoys the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't quite sure whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu could work things out creatively, the Derech HaTeva, that's also problematic, says the Maharal. That doesn't make me feel better about these Tzukim either. Maybe, right, maybe you could suggest that. Right, maybe you could suggest something like that. In other words, the Yaakov wants to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding was that a nes, the Derech HaTeva, is also called a nes, and therefore, you know, that was also precluded because you couldn't, you know, that couldn't be done in such a way that people would get hurt. Again, a lot depends on where you draw the line, what's called a nes, what's called Derech HaTeva. I mean, the Ramban's own language seems to stress that it's not a nes at all. It's, again, I guess what we'll call creative manipulation of teva. Again, where you put the line, what's called a nes, what's called teva becomes a little bit blurry over here. But, I'm sorry? Right, you're right. This is not Purim, Maisha, right? In other words, so is Purim a nes? Is Purim a teva? You know, it all depends, you know, what your definition is going to be. But maybe the machlokes, as it were, between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam is, you know, what's called a nes, what's called teva. Yeah, there's another big Rashi right after this Rashi.
Actually, this
Rashi actually canceled itself. Yeah, so there's a lot in that second Rashi. I wasn't really planning on getting into that second Rashi over here. It's just because we'll need another Shia just to go through the second Rashi.
So,
yeah.
The second Rashi is what you say, Moshe elaboration of the first one. The first Rashi is that Ayana Tantipotia, it is possible, and that's where it says, as Rabbi put it before, you think I can't do it? The second one seems to say, no, the Derek Hateva, you can't satisfy everybody.
Right.
One's going to say, one's going to adopt, one's going to, a large animal is going to say, one small animal, one's going to say this. So, to pull it off, yes. To satisfy everybody.
Right. So the only thing is that Rashi seems to be presenting yet a third sheet, though, in understanding the Sukkim, and then that may be distinct from, you know, all of the sheets that we're talking about up till now.
I'm just wondering, because Rashi has that in the line, might it be that if one wanted to fit it in and say, look, Moshe Rabbeinu, the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did was say, it could be done.
Right.
Our brother Baruch would say, the Derech Hateva I can pull it off. And Moshe Rabbeinu's
preparation
of that is, but how do you satisfy everybody?
Right. All right.
So, it's on is one thing.
Right.
Satisfy it.
That's
the
one. Right. So the Ramban addresses that Rashi also briefly, and he also doesn't feel that that's pshat. In other words, the Ramban is trying to walk a tightrope over here. The Ramban wants to defend Moshe Rabbeinu against the charge of his lacking in emunah, but he wants to do it in a way that he thinks is very pshat consistent. So that's a very... it's a tightrope that the Ramban is trying to walk. You know, the Ramban thinks that the various psalms that Rashi brings are not sufficiently pshat-based, you know, even though they defend the Moshe Rabbeinu. The pshat seems to indict Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, for a lack of emunah. That's really sort of the tightrope that he's walking. So the Ramaral also is not satisfied with the Ramban's interpretation of Yad Hashem Tikfar. In Rav Shalom, Yad Hashem Tikfa L'chadish V'derech Nesu Mo Fechol Shach Lom V'zeh Yad Hashem Tikfa. God Moshe Rabbeinu all of us Shalom Ha'im Asafik V'zeh Klau. As Moshe Rabbeinu also did not doubt Hashem's ability to make an out-and-out Nes. It was just this sort of in-between, you know, Nes V'derech Hateva thing that Moshe Rabbeinu is unsure about, according to the Ramban, but that also is problematic, says the Maral. Vani Omer, let's just finish with this. I believe the Ramban is right, says the Maral, but in the way that Rabbi Akiva understands the Sukkah. Because the truth is, says the Maral, I have a tremendous problem with Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbi Akiva is quoted in Rashi, says, yep, the Sukkah should be read to Shutam, and Moshe Rabbeinu was really questioning the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create a miracle over here. And says the Ramban, "Hey, keep talking." Lefarish also k'mashmo. So how you Moshe Rabbeinu all of us all mamin achar kol anisim sh'asa? He Hashem Yisroch Yochel Chanish also to Moshe. I mean, does Rabbi Akiva really? I mean, the question that Rabbi Shimon has on Rabbi Akiva, chas v'shalom. I mean, how could you say that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't believe in Hakadosh Baruch Hu's ability to make miracles? So that's a basic question, says the Maral. I mean, you know, anyone who reads Rabbi Akiva has to ask that question. How could it be that Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Maimon. He wasn't Maimon. He didn't believe. So Kriya Shamsun, you saw Maimon Ashina, you saw everything. You know, and you still didn't believe? That would be a tremendous, not just a little lack of emunah. You know, not a lack of emunah with a lowercase aleph. That'd be an unbelievable lack of emunah. How could that be? Elohaya Shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu, all of our Shalom. He called Anisim, Kasha Yisrael, Osim, and Son, Shomakom, Mosif, and Kach, and Guru, and Mamo. Right? So, Moshe Rabbeinu was a machlokes, according to Rabbi Akiva, about what the nature of miracles is. According to Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that whenever a nes takes place, it adds to Klal Yisrael's appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu denied the ability of God to make miracles, chas v'shalom, but he denied, or he did not believe in the readiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make miracles for a sinful Jewish people. That's a very different thing. The Jewish people are sinning, and you've got to make a miracle for them. You know, they're sinning by complaining against you, and the response is make a miracle again, like Ari said before. So the kids are complaining,
So make a miracle for the kids? You know, give them whatever they want? You know, that doesn't seem to be right. Well, the Zachotah, the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rabbi Akiva, was a little bit more subtle than what we think at first glance. Asher lo yeh nosen hagadul Hashem yisparach, ki b'shnot kevodu l'ma yishkadesh lo yisparach mechadesh kirtzono. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that God only makes miracles when the Jews are doing, you know, God's will. Not so. Whether God chooses to make miracles or not is not a function of the deservedness of the Jewish people. It's a function of whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Mekadesh Shmo, whether he wants to sanctify his name. And even if the Jewish people aren't deserving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will on occasion make miracles in order just to show his omnipotence, his ability to carry out great things. Right, so that all of that is the Maral's interpretation within Reb Shimon. But within Rabbi Akiva, who just says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, God, can you really pull this off? Right? So the way to understand that is not that he doubts God's abilities to make miracles. Of course God makes miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu saw God make miracles. But are you really going to make miracles for a sinning Jewish people? Right? And therefore, you're not going to make a miracle. So, the Derech HaTeva, how this is going to work? And the Rabban Shalom's answer is, Ayat Hashem Tikzar, what do you think? I only make miracles when the Jewish people deserve it? I make miracles when I think it's appropriate to make miracles. You know, the Jewish people's readiness to, this, you know, the deservedness of the miracles is not a factor in, you know, and they may even get punished as a result of the miracle. But it doesn't matter, because Rabban is only cheshbonos. As to when he makes miracles and, you know, whether the Jewish people deserve it or not, is ultimately not a, you know, is not a factor. Bottom line, all of these interpretations are the interpretations of the interpretations are struggling with this basic question, you know, is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu would, you know, have such a lack of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And ultimately, the Maral's answer is, of course it's not possible. And even Rabbi Akiva, who in Rashi seems to be saying, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu had a lack of faith, even Rabbi Akiva doesn't really mean that. Even Rabbi Akiva is just questioning whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make a miracle under the circumstances, but clearly the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make miracles and the fact that he does make miracles is something that no one's questioning under any circumstances whatsoever. So everybody, a good Shabbos again, as I mentioned, I'll mention it again, next week, that's the Hashem of the Shia on Thursday night. In deference to the Chasana, which Hashem, many of us are attending on Wednesday night. So we'll pick up next Thursday night with Parshas Shlach.